So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the loop.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Good afternoon, or good evening, as it will. It's Doc Young here for Wrestling Weekly, and this week there's no Les right now. There's no Les, but I do have somebody that's going to come on the air with me, and we are going to explain what's going on. But first, I want to introduce you to a man from Wrestling News Live. They call him JSK. JSK, thanks for being on the show with us.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks for having me on the show. This is kind of cool. Everybody wants to talk to the Trey Dog, and finally JSK gets to go solo on somewhere else.
So now you're a two-show superstar.
There you go, two-show superstar.
All right. Well, the thing with the thing that's going on is Les is he's doing some voiceovers right now down in Georgia, and he is back on his way to the hotel, and he is he's running late, as it will. So we've got JSK for about 15 minutes here, and JSK and I are going to be speaking about what's going on in the news this week. But first, tell us about Wrestling News Live. That's your show.
Yeah, well, it's the Trey Dog and I, Wrestling News Live. Also, Adam Martin of WrestleView.com. Everybody knows the news guy. We are the Terrible Three, or whatever you want to call us. It doesn't matter. I love the show. It's great. We've had some great interviews. We've got another great interview tonight. We're actually going to be interviewing B.G. James
from
NWA TNA. We've got him, and it's going to be – I actually just spoke to him to confirm about 5:30, it was probably about 4:30 when I called him, and he's great to talk to on the phone. He's down to earth, and it's going to be a great interview. So if you're up late, 10 o'clock Central Time, don't forget to tune in to Wrestling News Live, where we're going to be interviewing B.G. James at probably about 10:30 is when we'll have his interview on.
And where do you go to listen to Wrestling News Live?
There's a couple of places you can go. You can go to audiowrestling.com and then click onto the Wrestling News Live front page. Or you can go to wrestlingnewslive.com and click on to listen now. And you can go in the chat room and interact with a lot of listeners, or you can just sit back and listen, however you want to do it.
Sounds good. Did you happen to catch Raw this week?
Yeah, I caught some Raw this week. I have to watch it late. The thing is I work on Monday nights, and we record Raw because my partner, my co-host, also works, and so we don't get to watch until about 2 in the morning. But, yeah, I caught it. It wasn't bad, but I don't know. I'm a TNA whore. I'm sorry.
Hey,
I didn't even use that word.
You like TNA.
Yeah, I am, and everybody knows that. If you listen to Wrestling News Live, we are. And I've been pretty excited about TNA here lately, but don't get me wrong. I mean, WWE is still the main product out there, and if we can find something good, we can talk about it.
So what do you think about them getting a TV deal now?
TNA getting a TV deal is great. I wish it could come sooner. We all know it's going to be in October. Trey Dog and I are actually going to go down and be for the Unbreakable pay-per-view, which is the one right after they get their TV deal, I believe. I think so. Or right before they get their TV deal. And we're going to be down there in Florida, Orlando, at the event, VIP passes and all. Hey, Wrestling News Live is stepping up.
Sounds good. How about Jeff Hardy? What do you think about him? He just got his suspension lifted. He's coming back to TNA, speaking of.
Right. Jeff Hardy is great TNA. I was really hoping that we'd get to see Matt go over there also, you know, and put the Hardy Boys back together again. And we've stated a lot on our show that TNA has the only, basically only, tag team division in wrestling today, as far as I'm concerned. And if you want to have the Hardy Boys over there, with the Dudley Boys cut loose, the possibility of them might, you know, talking to TNA, if that, you know, that's just all speculation and rumor, but the possibility's out there because they are free agents. And, you've got America's Most Wanted, you've got the Naturals, so many great tag teams. To have the Hardy Boys over there would have been great. But Jeff Hardy in the X Division, that's what he is. He's an X Division wrestler. So that, I didn't really like him in the main title hunt because I don't think that he fits the mode, especially with guys like Monty Brown and Rhino now in the NWA TNA. And, you know, guys like that, you know, to see little Jeff Hardy in there amongst those monsters, it's kind of unrealistic. So, but he's a great addition to the X Division, and I would like to see him make a run at that belt.
But I thought the X Division was about no limits.
It is about no limits, but you generally see that the guys that are in the X Division are smaller guys. What they mean by no limits is that their ability in the ring to go outside the ring, off the top rope, off the top of the building, or wherever it happens to be, through 50 tables. And that's what it is, the whole no-limit thing. And Jeff Hardy is that reckless, you know, style that he has. He fits the X Division very well.
Excellent. We're speaking with JSK from Wrestling News Live right now. Les is on his way back to the hotel. He's going to be joining us here in just a little bit. Guess who we got on the show tonight, JSK?
Who you got?
We've got Ricky Morton on the show from the Rock and Roll Express.
Wow.
Yeah,
Ricky Morton.
He's going to be talking to us, and it's part of our Legends interview series. Also,
speaking
on,
of great tag teams, there you go. Ricky Morton on the Rock and Roll.
Absolutely. And also, A-Train was supposed to be scheduled for the show, and I got to tell everybody right now that A-Train did get a hold of me this morning and let me know that he had a family emergency, and he's on a plane right now back on his way home. He will not be on the show tonight, but we do have Terry Taylor.
Terry Taylor.
You know what? Also, of TNA fame.
I would love to interview Terry Taylor, man, because I remember watching him back in the day. That's the old NWA, the old WCW day. Terry Taylor, man, he was good. He was great in the ring for what he did, and he's a great mind for the business. And I love the fact that he's a part of TNA, and so it's great. I'm gonna have to check out that interview myself.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good one. Hopefully.
Oh, I'm sure it will. Like I said, Terry Taylor is a great mind for the business. So if you want to talk some good wrestling, even old school wrestling or wrestling of today, Terry Taylor would definitely be a great interview.
Oh, yeah. Also from TNA, of course.
Right.
And what is the next TNA pay-per-view right now? Is there anything out there about that?
The next TNA pay-per-view is not, it's not this week. It's next week. It's, Sacrifices. I'm sorry. I couldn't remember. Unbreakable is during September the 11th. Sacrifice is the next one coming up in 2 weeks.
They're
great cards, yeah.
I get
those confused. Bound for Glory is coming after Unbreakable. So, yeah, it's going to be some good stuff coming up in TNA. Plus, they've got the TV deal and everything.
Excellent. Somebody in the chat room said I just called you JFK.
JFK?
Yes.
I get that quite a bit. Well, like I said before, Jay, if you want to compare me to one of the greatest presidents this country's ever seen, then okay, what the hell?
Yeah, I have that northern accent, so it gets lazy sometimes. Have you been watching any of that UFC stuff that's been on? Speaking of, we're talking about wrestling and stuff. This is a wrestling show, but of course, UFC comes on after Raw, and
right.
I've been enjoying it, actually.
The UFC?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I love the UFC, and I don't get to watch it as much as I'd like to. Like I said, we record Raw, so we don't get to record the UFC afterward. But they were doing the sort of like the UFC reality show there a few months back, and I watched that every time after Raw, and that was really good. You got to see these young kids come up that has UFC experience, but not a lot, and they pick out the best two in the two weight divisions or whatever. And give them contracts in UFC for a year, and to see some of the fights that these younger kids went through, it was great to see. I love the UFC. I wish that I would get to see it more often now, but I have to work on Monday nights.
Yeah, I just record the whole thing. I just start the recording and just let it run because I've been watching them. I really did enjoy the UF Ultimate Fighting competition. the reality show, and got to see a lot of those people. And, you know, I'm a big fan of, like, Stephen Bonner now and Forrest Griffin. That was the best fight I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yes, yes. I don't know. Here lately, Chuck Liddell has been tearing it up.
Mm-hmm.
He's been tearing it up. It's almost like he's got a second win. He's a man on a mission. I've seen the last couple of fights that he's been in here recently, and he's out there. I mean, he's a tough one to beat right now.
Mm-hmm. Have you checked out Hogan Knows Best yet?
I saw the first episode, and then I caught a little bit of the episode. I think it was last Sunday where it was backstage during the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
His inductee to the Hall of Fame, he was going back, you know, it was the whole backstage. I caught a little bit of that, but I saw the inaugural edition, if you want to, yeah.
Oh, where she went on a date?
Yeah, where she went on a date with the older guy. Yeah, you could tell Hogan wasn't none too happy about that. And that's probably the last we'll see of that kid.
Probably, yeah. He was just a guest star. He's not going to be a regular on the show.
No, he had a special appearance, and that was it.
Who did you say you had again tonight? You got B.G. James coming on tonight.
Yes, B.G. James. It's going to be great. I mean, he hadn't done a whole lot of interviews here in the past couple of years. He's been kind of on the quiet side, but we've got him on Wrestling News Live, and we're going to talk to him just like we talked to all of the other people. That, you know, it's just going to be basically a conversation that you, the fans, get to listen in on. It's not really an interview type deal. It's more of a conversation, and we love talking to the stars of wrestling, period, but of course NWA TNA, because, you know, that's been something we've promoted ever since their inception 3 years ago, and it's just really great to talk to these guys that we've seen personally and seen in the ring, being down when they were in Nashville, seeing in the ring and stuff like that. It's really good to, you know, touch base with them again and talk to them.
Yeah, it's the best way to spend the weekend.
Right, exactly. What better way to spend your Sunday than listening to all your favorite wrestling internet shows?
Yeah, there's a lot of them on Sundays, too, so, I mean, yep, all in a row. So, they're talking about now that they're freaking out that you're on the show. This is weird.
Are they, for really?
Yeah. Trey and Doc did a trade, JSK and Doc on WW, and Les and Trey on WNL.
Oh, really?
We should do that just for one night, like if the show falls on April Fool's Day.
Yeah, what,
we should have you and Trey Doc do this show. Me and Les will go do Wrestling News Live for a night.
Well, the guys at In Your Head Wrestling is going to be taking over our show this Sunday that we're down at Unbreakable at the NWA TNA pay-per-view. So that should be very interesting. We're going to call in live while we're down there. But they're pretty much going to be doing Wrestling News Live that night.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that should be very interesting. It might be the death of WNL as we know it. You never can tell.
It could be. You never know. We're talking with JSK from Wrestling News Live here on Wrestling Weekly. Les is back on his way to the hotel. He's been working hard all weekend over at his good buddy's promotion down in Georgia, and he's going to be telling all of us about how his weekend has gone in just a little bit.
I'm sure he's going to have plenty of stories to tell.
Les always has plenty of good stories to tell. He should write his own book.
Oh, well, somebody already did that, didn't they?
Yeah, but he needs to do another one. He needs to update it, because now it's going to have me in it.
Mm.
I've not been in a book yet. No wrestler has ever mentioned my name yet.
I've never been in a book, and I'm a big fan of reading. I read quite a bit, and I've never seen my name in a book. It's quite disturbing, actually.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a commercial break, and JSK, I want to thank you for being on here.
Hey, well, thank you, man.
And covering for me, covering some time. Let's, you know.
That's okay. I enjoy doing it. It's cool to, you know, actually do this in the middle of the day. I mean, our show is still like 5 hours away, so this is kind of like a tune-up for me.
Yeah, actually it is. But, yeah, you guys have the late show, and we got the early evening show. So.
That's right. Y'all are the opener, and we're the main event. Sorry, man.
Now, you're after everyone goes to bed.
That's true. Yeah. You have to catch us during the week on the archive.
All right. That's JSK, not Trey Dog. That's JSK from Wrestling
News
Live.
I know it's pretty strange. I think this is only the second show I've ever been on, other than my own.
Yeah.
So.
And where can they check out your show again?
Once again, you can go to audiowrestling.com and click on the Wrestling News Live homepage, or you can simply just go to wrestlingnewslive.com and click on Listen Now. You can hear our show at 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 Eastern. That's when we start and get things rolling. We usually do about a two-hour show. So we hope to see, hey, if some of the listeners of your show, the early listeners, are still up at that time, maybe, you know, a little bored with whatever's on TV, give Wrestling News Live a listen. We're glad to have you.
All right, JSK from Wrestling News Live. Stay tuned, guys. We've got Ricky Morton and Terry Taylor coming up on the show. It's Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and, yes, JSK. Stick around, guys.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you, Wrestling Weekly. Les, you're late, my friend.
I am late, yes, and I apologize. I'm down here in Columbus, Georgia. I was involved in doing voiceovers for some DVDs for Georgia Championship Wrestling, my old friend Jerry Oates' company, and just got caught up in the sound booth, Doc, and all of a sudden somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You're supposed to be on the air," and I said, "Oh, my God. I have forgotten. I do want to say this. I had a tremendous time last night. Last night was the second annual Fred Ward Memorial Show here at Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It's their first. They have been running a year in this building. And Fred Ward, for those who don't know, was the dominant promoter here in Columbus, Macon, Georgia, for over 40 years. And every top star that was anybody, well, Jerry was on with us last week, as you know, and we talked about that. And, of course, last night, Matt Superstar was here, Bob Armstrong, Brad Armstrong, Charlie Smith, the old NWA referee, Big Bill Bromo, a lot of the guys who had wrestled for Fred in the past, his daughter,
mm-hmm.
son-in-law, and our son-in-laws, and we paid tribute to him. But this arena, I've got to tell you about the Georgia Championship Wrestling Arena, Sports Arena here in Columbus, Georgia, has to be the yardstick to measure independent promotions by.
Really?
It is state of the art. Jerry is a perfectionist of the first order, and he spent 2 years finishing this place up. And I talked to him on the phone every once in a while, and I said, "What are you doing?" "I'm working on my arena." And then 6 months later, I said, "My God, what are you building now?" Now I know. This place, I mean, the atmosphere is just electric. It seats 700 very nicely. They have a full-service concession. They have a beautiful merchandise area with, you know, all sorts of stuff. They have a digitalized, computerized sound system. They have the ramp for the wrestlers to enter by comes down off the second floor. The wrestlers have an air-conditioned dressing room with bathrooms and everything at their disposal upstairs, carpeted. They have a big screen TV at which to watch the show downstairs. Everything is timed out. There are expediters to send the guys down the ramp. The ramp must have 100 smoke jets lining. As you come down, your right shoulder would be to the main part of the auditorium. And then at the halfway down the ramp, it makes a right sharp right turn, and you come out under the big video screen, which is up on the front wall of the arena,
mm-hmm.
right above the sound system. Ring lights, show lights, strobe lights, all the, you know, the bells and whistles. The building is air-conditioned. We had my guesstimation would be close to capacity last night. But the really nice thing that they do, and they did yesterday, was at 4 o'clock, they opened the building up, and each one of the wrestlers has his own merchandise table, and the fans come in from 4 to 6 to get autographs, to have pictures taken with the wrestlers, to check out the merchandise. Then they ask everybody to leave at 6 so they can get set up for the show, and then they open the doors at 6:45, and the show starts at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just, it was just tremendous. I mean, it really was.
Sounds
and,
great.
I mean, if you are an independent promoter, if you plan on building your own arena, now this is owned by Jerry and his partner, the building, obviously, then this is what you need to come to Columbus, Georgia, and check this out. Really? And if you're a wrestling fan and you're in the any place in the immediate area, they wrestle here every Saturday night, and the atmosphere is just tremendous. I mean, the fans were so receptive. And, you know, they had, I mean, some of the guys that were the Armstrongs, Bob and Brad, were here last night. Felix Skipper, Disco Inferno, David Young, you know, just a lot of, and they, a lot of, Eric Watts was in the house, mm-hmm. Sonny Siaki, and, you know, it's just, but the arena itself, I mean, if you're designing one, if you want to, you know, whatever, if you're an independent promoter and you're having your permanent place for your matches, this is the one to copy, believe me, it's just that good.
It sounds excellent. I mean, I don't know that many independent promotions that even have their own arena, you know?
No,
much
I
less something
either.
Like what you're describing.
And you know, the amazing thing, of course, is we all know the wrestling business is down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of the small independents are tickled to death to get 250 people or 150 people, in some cases 75 in some cases. And they have been averaging somewhere between 300 and 400 a week.
That's excellent.
Yes, they run every Saturday night. And they have fans come in here from as far away as Tennessee. Jerry told me that they had one group of fans that's been in twice from Texas. And a lot of these guys are, I mean, they're young wrestlers here too, but it's more the old school atmosphere, mm-hmm. you know. And it's a tight-run ship. There's no two ways about it. There's no wasted effort. And the fans are so receptive to everything. I mean, it was just amazing last night and a lot of fun.
We had Jerry Oates on the show last week, and you had told me during the show, during the interview, that some of these independent guys would come up to him and say, you know, this is the the best place I've worked at, you know, the best show.
The other thing I forgot on the second floor, besides the sound booth that I was doing my voiceovers in, and Jerry's office, and mm-hmm. the air-conditioned locker room for the boys, is a weight room.
Excellent.
Yeah, so, I mean, as he told you last week, we worked together on bodybuilding shows,
mm-hmm.
and he's Jerry's idea about everything he does is, if I can't do it right, I won't do it at all.
Right.
And
No wonder you lost track of time over there. It's like a wrestling Disneyland over there.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just but a tremendous setup. And Ole Anderson was with us last night, and it was just we had a great time. But like I say, if anyone is within any if you got a weekend with nothing to do, and you want to travel a little bit, and you're any place near Columbus, Georgia, then you need to stop in and check out the GCW Sports Arena and their shows. And I don't think you'll be disappointed at all. I think tickets run, I think it's 12, 10, and 5 or 6 for children. I'm not sure.
Wow, that's a good price, too.
Yes,
I feel like we're doing a commercial, but, I mean, this isn't, we're not being paid to say this.
You know, I wish I had bought a camera and I had pictures of this that we could put up on the website.
Yeah.
Because it is just, it's that unusual. As you know, I travel around doing independent training camps and stuff, so I go to a lot of independent shows, and for the most part, a lot of it's armories or high school gyms or whatever the case. But
right.
Obviously, this is built for one reason and one reason only, and that's for professional wrestling.
Sounds great.
It is. It's just great. And one of the other things I did last night is recruit some people for the show. We don't have dates on them yet.
Cool.
But Ely Skipper, who spent several months in my camp when he was with WWE, and is a really good kid, and of course a good performer, as you've seen him,
mm-hmm.
said yes, he'd be happy to be on the show with us, and Bob and Brad Armstrong and PG James.
Excellent.
And then, of course, next week, who's our featured guest?
Jim Cornette.
Absolutely.
Can't wait.
So, some good things happen, I think, with Wrestling Weekly.
Yes. Good guests.
And
another one that you don't know about, Lance Storm.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
When's Lance going to be on with us?
In a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah? Great.
So we got a lot of good guests coming up in this next month.
Yes, we sure do. I want to mention briefly again, I mentioned last week, is at Outer Harley Races in Eldon, Missouri. Check out all the information at harleyrace.com. Is the NOAA training tryout camp. It runs from September 21st to the 24th, and it will be the two top athletes as chosen by the NOAA wrestlers that will be there, who are Marufuji, Kenta, and I forget the third one. I don't have that stuff written down here. It's in Cincinnati. But anyway, the two top athletes from that 4 day of training will be offered a chance to go to Japan, all expenses paid, live and train in NOAA's dojo for 3 months. And, of course, if it works out well for the wrestler and for the company, then they will be offered a NOAA contract.
That's an excellent opportunity.
Yes, it absolutely is. And they can sign up by going to, well, they can find the information on our, you know, Elite Pro Wrestling Training website, EPWT.com, or at HarleyRace.com. So that's, and I know you've covered the news a lot, but how about Bret Hart showing up in Stanford this past week?
Wow. Never thought you'd see it, did you?
No.
But
no.
Never say never, of course.
Exactly.
And well, it's just another example of why.
Yeah, I don't necessarily take sides on that whole controversy, but I think the main thing here is if Bret is comfortable with the deal, comfortable with working back with the company, and, of course, he's not going to wrestle, as we all know. It's going to be about DVDs and some personal appearances, I'm assuming, anyway.
Right. Maybe he'll get in the ring. Maybe we'll see him on TV, make a statement.
If he's comfortable with it, then I'm comfortable with it for him. You've already talked about Raw, and what was your take on Matt Hardy's interview?
Matt Hardy actually did a good interview. It's not hard, you know, for him to get into this now. You know what I mean? There were some other things like when Lita does the promo or when Lita does an angle backstage, you could see that she's kind of affected, and her heart doesn't seem to be really into it. Matt Hardy,
yeah.
I mean, he's talking about something real to himself, so he's going to, you know, cut a killer promo on something that's real.
Yeah.
And
you
he
know,
did.
A lot of the guys in the business that I talk to, I say a lot, you know, I haven't talked to 100, but myself, a lot of, you know, I think we look at some small things that maybe the average fan doesn't pay attention to. First of all, with the promos he's cut before he was actually invited out there by Vince, I thought it was kind of contradictory for him to shake Vince's hand.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing was I thought it was a little confusing in saying, well, Lita's been playing Kane's wife for a year, but she's actually been coming home to me until she went home to Edge. I mean, at this point, the casual fan must be, their head's got to be spinning thinking, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
But still, it's, you know,
at least they're giving props to the internet folks now, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. It's just, and I felt kind of, obviously she's making a good living, I'm sure, but I thought that when Jillian Hall did the promo on SmackDown, that the audience were not receptive to it. And I saw that goofy thing look like it was starting to peel off. So I'm just, you know, and I'll, you want to know the truth. Other people I've talked to within the industry, all of them had negative comments about it.
Right, of course.
Yeah, and I just don't see any upside, and I don't see any longevity to it.
You know, sometimes when an angle goes really horrible like that, and the audience isn't receptive to it, as you said. They find some weird way to end it really quickly, like with the Beaver Cleavage angle. You remember that and how
sure.
They ended that kind of weird and abruptly. It would just be so funny if somebody walked up to her and just said, "You got some sauce on your face," and wiped it off.
or
and that's it.
If she had, if someone had a torrid love affair with a cosmetic surgeon.
Yeah.
Right. And out of love for her, he removed it. I don't. You know what? I really don't care how they get rid of it. Just please get rid of it.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
And I just think the whole thing, you know, it's a pleasure to me to watch Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio, regardless. But I think this whole thing that's taken it far, I mean, I think the announcement that to make Rey uncomfortable that supposedly his son is Eddie's, but now I think that he wants to get, Eddie wants his rightful son, or, you know, has brought the lawyer. I'm thinking, okay, we're going too far with it now.
Right. It's been, they went too far with it a long time ago.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Well, I'm not trying to sound like, I don't know what here, but I think they're grasping at straws with that stuff. You know, it's kind of is coming down. Let's throw some stuff against the wall and see what's going to stick.
Mm-hmm.
And just the sad thing is, I just don't think it's a plus. There's so much good talent in that company that I think handled properly, a little bit of comedy, a little bit of a TNA or a little bit of whatever they want to do. But the main thing is lead to the product its name is on, you know, on the marquee, wrestling.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, when you've got guys like Guerrero, Mysterio, Benoit, Angle, Michaels, Helmsley, and on and on and on, I mean, you know, you can use these little segments to segue into what is the main, you know, product of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears, and from what I'm hearing from some sources, which doesn't mean it's cut and dried, is that they have, you know, kind of the direction, at least for the short term, they're taking is more entertainment and less wrestling.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I'll agree with you on that.
And I'll tell you what, if I ever see a ticket sold even at 50 cents for a Diva Joust, I won't be buying it. That was the most mindless thing. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, even if they beat each other to death with those pillows, I'd have been a little more entertained by it. But, you know, they barely got it, held them up, and they fall off those pedestals. But whatever.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
You know, bottom line is, I guess they got bigger bank accounts than you and I have. So,
exactly.
What can I say about it? And our first guest tonight is?
Our first guest tonight is the legendary Ricky Morton.
Yes.
Yes.
Of Rock and Roll Express fame.
Yes, and I haven't even got to tell you about this, but I got A-Train contacted me this morning.
Yeah.
And he has some kind of family matter to attend to. He's on a plane right now on his way back home.
Well, I'll be dang on. Well, I'm sorry to hear he's got family problems. I'm
mm-hmm.
sure. I met his dad at WrestleMania in Toronto a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing thing was, I think it was either with Kevin Kelly or Tom Pritchard. I'm not sure which. And I saw this guy across the building, and I said, no matter what somebody tells me, that's got to be Matt Bloom's father or his brother or his cousin.
Really?
I mean, they look that much alike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but... Well, that's a shame. Well, maybe we can have Matt on at another time.
Yeah, we're going to have to postpone that. But you know me. You know I'm always working. So we do have another guest.
You do?
Well, yes.
Doc, that means you've slept during the night and actually woke up during the day then.
You are absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head this time.
Who we got?
We've got Terry Taylor.
Really?
Your good friend Terry Taylor.
All right.
He's going to be on the show. And so Ricky Morton, Terry Taylor on the show tonight. Let's go ahead and take a break and get Ricky Morton on the phone because he's probably waiting and saying, where are those people?
All right, let's do it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, guys. We're going to come back. We've got Ricky Morton coming up. Get your questions ready. It's Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We'll be right back after this.
It's Wrestling Weekly Radio, broadcasting greatness every Sunday.
Woo! What a night!
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. Now in our Legends interview series, we've got our first guest for the evening from the Rock and Roll Express. It's Ricky Morton. Ricky, I want to thank you for being on Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's great to have you. You know, Doc, you talk about this guy being a legend. There's no doubt that he is. Rock and Roll Express are legendary.
Absolutely.
But to me, he was a legendary little boy about 8 years old hiding behind his daddy, Paul Morton, the referee's leg when I first met him in the restroom in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, you have to tell that, don't you, Les?
Well, you know what I always tell, Doc? I say, then he was too bashful to speak to me. When he spoke, he said, yes or no, sir.
You know what? I was just fixing to say that. I'm glad my dad wasn't sitting here because I should have said Mr. Thatcher. My dad got all over me.
It's all right, Vic. What he says now, Doc, is when I say something, he says, shut up, old man, and sit down over in the corner.
Oh, no. What's going on, guys?
I'm teasing. We go back. Actually, that was 1968 is the first time I laid eyes on this young man.
Love. Yeah.
And I think that's something we should talk about a little bit. I don't know how many of the younger fans know, but Ricky's dad was one of the best referees I ever worked with, Paul Morton.
Mm-hmm.
And his uncle, Mac, I loved to work with in the ring, who was a hell of a little heel and a good worker. How often do you get a chance to get home and see Uncle Mac and your dad?
Oh, I was just there a couple of weeks ago, though. You know, I live in Bristol, and which is not but 300 miles, and, you know, for me, being an independent wrestler, I wrestle, you know, me everywhere.
Right.
So, you know, at least every 2 weeks, I'm passing through Nashville, so I could stop, say hello, stay a couple of days. You know,
and my
uncle, you know, I talk, every time I go home, I talk to him. You know, his wife died not long ago.
Is that right?
Yes, she sure did, and, you know, that's... When you're together all those years, it tears you apart. You know what? I got to tell you this. My dad's 86 years old. And from the neck down, it looks like he's 22 years old.
Really?
He cuts the grass. You know, he won't use the riding lawnmower. You know, he uses the push mower.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's got to cut the grass 3 times a week. You know, I guess the way he keeps himself in shape, I guess. I don't know.
He's better shape than his son, then, isn't he?
Oh, isn't he, though? Well, you know, if you understood my dad, you know, my dad was...
The fact that you grew up around wrestling obviously had something to do with your getting into business, but at what age did you really think you wanted to be a wrestler?
When I was a kid with my dad, you know, every day I wanted to be a wrestler. But, you know, then
right.
As I got older, you know, in high school and everything else, it really didn't dawn on me till I got away from business for a while. And then I went back with my dad to a match, and I knew I was hooked. You know, this is what my goal in my life was, to be a professional wrestler. That's my destiny, you know. So,
sure.
And
sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, being around the business all my life, you know, it was it wasn't like these young guys nowadays breaking into the business and being trained. See, I was, my life was trained,
you know,
in the business.
Of course, you got your start around Nashville.
Oh, yes.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had Percy Pringle, Paul Bearer, on. And he and I, of course, him living down in Mobile, we brought up the name of Ken Lucas. Now, here's a guy who, for the modern fan, most of them have never heard of, but I know you'll agree with me, is one of the best workers that's ever placed up a pair of boots.
Oh, if anybody ever in this business ever get tapes, watch Ken Lucas. He was the most over baby face. But he was so, you know, that's who I learned from. I copied my whole style from Ken Lucas.
Right.
Back then, you know, I was the young baby face. He was the older guy.
You got to work with him as a partner when you first started out, right?
Oh, we was partners for a while. We was partners in Memphis. We was partners in Southwest Championship for Joe Blanchard.
Yeah.
Then we came back to Memphis again, and I spent about 3 years with Luke, and he was one of the best experiences of my whole career. You know, because you can learn this business, but you got to learn a lot. My dad taught me a lot, but just learning the psychology of the business, Ken Lucas was the best ever was to be.
Sounds good. Sounds
yeah.
good.
Hello.
I want to take some questions from the chat room. Here's a question from Crusher Cox. He wants to know what the real driving force between you and Robert Gibson finally splitting was, and is there a chance at a reconciliation?
Well, it's not a real big problem,
mm-hmm.
but you understand. You know, I come out here and I can say a lot of things, but you got this right here is not nothing to do with the business. It's a personal matter,
in
which I would not even want to say anything on the radio, because, you know, one thing leads to another. And understand this, it's not a reconciliation. I mean, I love Robert. I've been with Robert. What, 23 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something other than that. But, you know, me and Robert be partners a little bit at Fan Fest of the 20th. Matter of fact, it's Robert and I wrestling the Midnight Express with Jimmy Cornette.
Excellent.
On August 20th. You know, it's nothing like that, guys. I mean, everything gets blown out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you wrestle independents, you're in different towns, and, you know, and it's too far for him to travel. And for me, the area I'm in, it's a lot better where I'm at, and I got Brad, you know, and Brad Armstrong's there, and which me and Brad work together great. I got, you know, we do a good job.
Cool. Besides your feuds with the Midnight Express and the Koloffs, what other teams do you feel like brought out the best in you?
The Andersons. Ole always brought the best out of you if he didn't. P.O. you, you know,
right?
And your dad gum sure didn't want to fight him, so he so he brought the best out of you because you had to do your best, because either he's going to get your butt whooped or he's going to give you a pat on the back. And that was very rarely. Only ever gave you a compliment. Let me tell you.
You know, he was down here for that the Fred Ward memorial last night, and I was teasing him. I said, you know what? Nobody believed you're being a nice guy and actually being talking to people nice.
Wow. He was.
Didn't you say that?
I told him before, I said, I believe you're the only man in the world that don't like, I said, you don't even like ice cream, do you? You can't even like ice cream. No, but you know what? You got to take your hat off, you know, give credit where credit was due.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Anderson, you know, what can you say about him? He was the best in the business, too, you know.
Didn't you tell me that Ole Anderson had mellowed less?
Beg your pardon?
I asked Les a question. I think he told me that Ole Anderson mellowed out.
He was what?
Didn't you tell me that he was mellow?
Oh, yeah, he's mellowed out now.
He's mellowed now.
Yes, that's what he was just saying to you.
Right.
Being nice to people.
Right.
You know, just like I was trying to tell you earlier, in the early days, you know, you didn't think the man liked ice cream, like I was telling you.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like that.
Well, we were talking, before we went on the air, Rick, we were talking about me seeing Ole last night, and for the fans, I'm down in Columbus, Georgia, and
yes.
You have wrestled. I was, before we got you on the air, about how impressed I was with GCW, the Georgia Championship Wrestling Arena, Jerry Oates' build down here. And if you would, please give the listeners your viewpoint on that.
Well, you know, you got to understand I wrestle. I wrestle four times. You understand this, Jerry? You know, I wrestle at least four times a week because I'm still active in this wrestling business a lot. Matter of fact, it's the way I make a living. I go to a lot of places. There is none that can compare to Georgia Championship Wrestling. He runs it old school. The place is set up. It was unbelievable. If anybody's there in Columbus, Georgia, listen to this. You need to go check this out. This is what, and especially some of these independent promoters, if you want to learn this business, go buy a ticket and go watch your show. And then they understand what professional wrestling business is all about. It's the best there is for me, I think. I mean, he's the best.
If you're building an arena, this would be the one to copy, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, but not only that, the way he runs his business.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to understand, this even went back to days, you know, Jerry's strict. It's his way or the highway. But, see, that is the right way. You know, that's the way you do it. You know, he runs a great business. I enjoy working for him. It's a pleasure for me to have him even come to his building.
You were in a Ring of Honor last year for a confrontation with the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette.
Oh, yeah.
What was your opinion of Ring of Honor out there?
Well, you know, I didn't work. I just went out and did a little heel interview.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because up north, you got to understand back then, if we went, the people down south, the baby faces down south, there was heels up north. That's just the way it was, you know what I'm saying? So, when I was a packed house, all I did was go out and, you know, and just do an interview. I was just there that one time, and I really hadn't been around these guys to say anything about them. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good time that night. They treated me great.
Cool. Lawson has a good question. He wants to know if you felt that the Rockers, the Midnight Rockers.
You wonder what?
The Rockers.
What about it?
If they were a ripoff of the Rock and Roll Express.
I took it as a compliment.
Really?
Yes, I did. I took it as a compliment. You know, this business, you know, it's hard. It's hard. Nobody even realizes how hard it is. And, you know, it's Sean, when Robert and I were in Louisiana for Bill Watts, that's when Sean first broke the business out there. He's a young kid, 18 years old. He rode up and down the road with Robert and us in the back seat, and he learned a lot from us. And then when he did this right here, you know, to me, I took it as a compliment. So it's nothing that I thought he'd try to copy us. No,
mm-hmm.
I don't go for that. You know what I'm saying?
You work sometimes for, you know, another friend of the show, George South.
Yeah, George?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So,
he's good. He's down. You know, I was. He's a good old boy too.
He's funny.
Yes, he is.
Oh yeah. He's different.
Everybody identifies you with tag team, or at least probably the younger fans do. But the one thing that stands out in my mind and is a tribute to your talent as a worker was the fact that when you had the one single run with Flair for the world title on Georgia Championship Wrestling, or WCW, or whatever you want to call it, and that must have been exciting for you, too.
That was one of the greatest opportunities in my life. I was fortunate to get to, you know, I was fortunate to get that break to work with Flair. And as you know, as I look at it, you know, I work with everybody in the world. You know, you have your heavyweight champions now, and in the past before, but in my era, and to me, Ric Flair was the true, real world heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, I mean, you got to understand, he went an hour every night. He, no matter what anybody says about him, every day, every morning at 7 o'clock, he's out doing squats. He's working out. You know, Ric Flair lived his gimmick. But besides that, I mean, look at the matches today. World champion, what, comes out, does an interview, and then he goes out, what, works, an 8-minute match. Flair, an hour every night, dedicated his life to this business. And to me, it was great. It was an honor just to even say that I did even have a great run with him.
And, you know, I would say to any young guys that are independent workers and are trying to get better and trying to overcome a size disadvantage, yeah, if they were able to get their hands on those tapes, what they would find is what really got you over the top was your selling. And which so
well, see, nobody even understands that today.
No.
You know, I even heard, you know, you hear a lot of things in the grapevines. People don't want to, you know, like especially with WWE, they having problems. People don't want to say, oh, they don't want to put nobody over. They want to do this, don't want to do that. But, you know, it's fine art. You know, if the business today could say they have a true baby face, it'd be unbelievable. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, watch them on TV, especially when they go to the part of doing it. The interviews, I don't know who the baby face or the heels are. And then when they got the match, you don't either because, you know, you don't have a baby face that sells, that tries to get to tell that story of that match for that heel. You know what I'm saying? But to me, that's what, you know, that's where I learned my best from. I learned from Jerry Jarrett, Tojo, and Ken Lucas, the importance about selling in the match. Yeah, that's my cellular phone going off. I'll cut it off real quick. Excuse me.
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay, but that's the way I look. You know, it's selling is one of the most, especially being in a tag team match in those days. That's why me and Robert made such a great tag team. You know, I sold and I gave Robert that hot tag, and he come in, and boom. But you don't see that no more these days.
No.
And, you know, I know you're teaching a few young guys. In fact, Tommy Pritchard was real high on one of the young kids that you've been working with. What's his name?
His name's Brad Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I trained Kid Cash, David Cash, rather. Brad Thomas, he's here with me. He's not here in the room with me. Him and my wife and my kids are out somewhere. But we're down here working with a guy. He's going to be a great star,
good
future star in this business.
Good.
Yeah, it's you know, his attitude never changed. Even as for me, as me knowing him, it's still to everybody, yes or no, sir. It's never when you have a match, I know. You know, when you tell somebody they did something wrong, oh, I know. That's two words I hate. You know, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, don't tell me if you know, why come you done it? You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
So, mm-hmm. But he's great, and he's gonna be a great star in his future, in this business. He sure is. Well, my cellular phone's going off the wall here.
It's blowing up.
That's what it is when you work independent.
That's right. No,
hey, you know, a lot of times you're happy it's ringing, buddy. Let me tell you.
You're a guy that I talk about with me when I work training camps and stuff too, because we're talking about selling, and a lot of these kids will talk about a comeback, and I said, well, here's the clever thing: if you don't sell, you can't come back.
Well, they don't understand.
They don't understand why they don't get, you know, that big pop, but it's because the art is in going down and then starting that build and bringing the people with you as you come back, right?
Yeah, you know, yes. You see, in my theory was like the David Goliath theory. The big guy, you know, I always wrestled the bigger heels, but I was a baby face. But understand, see, it's like I try to tell Brad. When I used to sell, my thing was the guy on the front row. If I could make him believe that I'm hurt, and then when the wrestler, the guy I'm working with, keeps asking me if I'm all right, what do you think the guys up in the balcony are thinking?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But I did it the way, not where I was dead. You know, if somebody, you know, I see these guys, I give a guy a gut shot and he do a backflip. and take a bump. I mean, I don't understand that. Then you'd be right in the middle of the match. You see a guy drop him on his head. Then he'll move on the elbow, climb the top rope, and do a moonsault. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't understand this stuff. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand it. Yeah. And then they go through all these flying out on the floor, hit each other with barbed wires, telephone poles, run over with a car, and then a brother will beat him with a small package. You know, I don't understand it. You know, it's amazing to me, you know.
It's backwards, isn't it?
Sir?
It's backwards.
Yes. Well, that's
just backwards. I'm doing some voiceovers for some Jerry on some of these matches down here, and I pointed out to him today these two guys were going 15 minutes through, and they came down to the last 2 minutes. Now, you and I are obviously generation apart, and we've never worked together.
Yes,
but the point is, I know this, that if we were going out and going 15 through, that when we got down to the last 2 minutes, we're going to be firing up and false finishing the hell out of each other.
Oh, yeah.
This one guy dropped the kid. I forget what it was, what move, and I'm waiting for him to cover him, and he starts dancing and talking to the people.
Oh, yeah. Well, no psychology about the business anymore, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You see that a lot, you know what I'm saying? You see that a whole lot these days. Boy, this phone won't quit ringing.
I'm starting to like that song. I'm starting to like that song.
Oh, okay.
Doc wants to know what tune that is you've got. He wants to get it on his phone.
Exactly.
I don't know. My kids said it for me. You know, I have different rings.
We had a chance, last time we had a chance to work together long term was in Smoky, and that's probably the last of what anybody would call a territory, and we had a hell of a crew in there then.
I had a great time, less than Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You know, that's the reason I live in Bristol, because I moved there when we was running Smoky Mountain. I never left. You know. Plus all the independent promotions that are around there too. But Smoky Mountain was great. Jimmy Cornette did one of the greatest jobs with that territory with what he had. You know what I'm saying? And we had fun and we drew a little money. And but like you said, there's no more territories. You know what I'm saying? These independent promoters. This is funny. About a month ago, I wrestled for three different promoters in the same town, in the same building, on a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Really?
Yes, I did. And I was, matter of fact, I was babyface on Thursday, Hill on Friday, and babyface on Saturday. So, but you got to understand, I do this for a living.
Right.
I got paid for it, but you know, it's funny how things work out now, but I do. I miss Smoky Mountain. You know, they got that NWA Rocky Top they're trying to get going again.
Right.
Les out of Knoxville, Tennessee. Jimmy Golden and a guy named James Strange. And it did all right. You know, they got the good TV going there, and I hope something comes out of it pretty good, because it's, you know, it's fun working that area down there.
Absolutely. Crusher Cox has a question. He wants to know, at what stage in your career did you feel the Rock and Roll Express had reached true superstardom?
True superstardom. Well, I'll tell you what. We had a great run when we broke all kinds of records in Louisiana. But when Robert and I went to Charlotte, and they put the world titles on us. And you see, you've got to understand, back then, Charlotte, North Carolina, you didn't have the football team. You didn't have the basketball teams. You know, wrestling was a good thing there. It's when I bought a house there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I woke up the next morning and I opened my door up and I had about 600 people in my front yard, I knew something was going on then. You know?
Yeah.
They steal my flower pots, my tags off my car, my welcome mat. I'm telling you, 600 people in my front yard, my house. All out, just like a big party, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and plus, you know, when you couldn't, I'd even try to disguise myself. You know, like in Charlotte, going to the malls with my wife and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that didn't work either, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what? I enjoyed every bit of it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed every bit of it, man.
One of our guests has a question. I said you wrestled a kid named Jason Jones last week in Statesville.
Yes. No, I wrestled George South Jr., then Jason Jones at the end of it. Yeah, go ahead.
Wants to know what you think about Jason Jones and his abilities and all that good stuff.
Well, he's one of George South's guys, students.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, he's a good kid. Matter of fact, him and Brad Thomas have great matches. You know, he's going to be all right. You know, he's still got a lot. So he needs to be polished. And he's still got a lot to learn. You know, see, the opportunity that was great about when I was young, that you had territories and you wrestled every night. But when you're trying to learn this business, this psychology, this business, and you wrestle, what, twice a month, it's hard to do, you know. So he's going to be good. If he just needs more opportunities and more ring time, and he'll learn.
Absolutely. Look, is Les still there, or is he still with us?
Hey, Les?
I think we lost the guy.
Oh, man. He hung up on us, didn't he?
I think so. How about you? Could you stick around with us during the break?
Yeah, I can. My wife and kids are out here.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, they're banging on this window back hard. Okay? They want to come in. But, sure, I'll hang around for a second.
All right. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back in just a minute here, more with Ricky Morton when we come back on Wrestling Weekly. Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. Dun, 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 dun. I like this music, Les.
Okay.
You can't hear it, though.
No, I can't, so I wouldn't know. And I don't know if you're on bad drugs or what, that you hear it, and Ricky and I don't hear it. What's up with that?
I know it. I wonder what's going on here.
Well, exactly.
Brother singing to himself and everything.
The listeners can hear it. That's the important thing.
We'll buy that. And, of course, now I'm on the hotel phone, so I won't lose you guys again, or shouldn't anyway.
Good, good.
He just hung up on us, Doc.
He says, forget this interview.
Yeah. I do want to throw something out. Of course, with these Legends reunions or wrestler reunions or whatever you want to call them, that's been a real resurgent, Ricky, for you guys and for Midnight Express and the whole crew, right?
Oh, yes, it has. You know, matter of fact, the one we're going to do August the 20th in Charlotte, in which, you know, that's with the Midnight Express and Rock and Roll, we had our biggest feud, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So on August the 20th there at the Hilton, right there on University, at this reunion, we're going to wrestle each other. Just Robert and I against the Midnight Express and Jimmy Cornette and Charlotte after 20 years. So I'm looking forward to that, too, to see what the reaction is of the people. But, you know, with these Legends shows, you get people from everywhere, too. So I'm hoping it works out real good.
Sounds
good. I was
talking
to Greg Price, and he told me it's looking real good. So,
yeah. You know what? I'm looking at the – I don't know if you've seen this yet or not, but I'm looking at the cover of the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, the tag teams.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen the book yet?
The Robert Donald scaffold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And poor Bobby, you guys trying to knock him on his
– That's great. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I was at a Walmart earlier today, and I see a WWE magazine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And my boy comes and showed me. He had a picture of Robert and I in there this month.
Well,
excellent.
Good.
Yeah, I tried to read it. Had it read about it, just had our picture in there. You know what I'm saying? Well,
the Southeast back during when I was in my prime too, but has always been a hotbed for tag teams more than any other part of the country. Don't you think?
Oh yes, it sure is. You know, and I think there's still a lot more for tag teams, even up north.
Yeah.
Right now. But, you know, if you're going to do something, you got to do it. You know,
right.
You can't talk about it or say it don't work. You got to try it at least anyway. But you get your established tag team because, you know, you have your single wrestlers. And nowadays everybody's in competition. Nowadays everybody's afraid they're going to lose their job or somebody else is going to look better than they are. But you need to establish a good babyface tag team, a good heel tag team. You know, then you have your single heel and your single babyface.
Exactly.
That's what always drew money. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And, you know, it's a package deal. So,
do you think a lot of that is because of Vince McMahon? Because it seems like some of the guys that can work the best end up being the jobbers.
Well, you know, I'm not a corporate guy,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know. I mean, I'm not one of those guys that can come in and say the right thing at the right time at a corporate meeting. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm one of these kind of guys that tell you to kiss my, you know what?
Right.
I don't want to hear it because you know, I don't want to hear about. So-and-so don't want to do this for so-and-so because I'm from those kids. Back then, if you don't want to do it, good, pack your bags, go home. You know, they don't do that no more.
Mm-hmm.
See, another thing about the business is, too, you know, these guys up there, back when we worked together with any heel tag team, when we was making money, we depended on each other for a living. We depended on each other. You understand what I'm saying? That's how I make it. Now, look, these days, these guys make millions of dollars a year.
Right.
They don't give a crap about you. You know what I'm saying? They don't care if it break your neck, break your arm, break your foot. You know, all they worry about is getting that money and getting that glory on TV.
You know, it's amazing. I mean, there was some merchandise to be sold a little bit in the 70s and then into the early 80s, but the situation over the last 10 years, I mean, there's guys making more money off of T-shirts or off their piece of the merchandise than probably you and I rolled together in the best year either one of us ever had.
Well, you know, and I know that, guys, but... Guys, can y'all hold on just for a minute? I've got to answer this phone.
Go ahead.
Guys,
sure.
Driving me crazy. Okay, well, hold on just a second.
Ricky Morton here on Wrestling Weekly, live.
Taking bookings as we talk.
Yes. The life of an indie worker.
There you go.
That's how it goes.
You're right. It is. You know, it is. You know what? While we're waiting on Ricky to come back with Doc, that's true. The indie life is a point that you've got to get out and hustle. Mm-hmm. You know? It's, I mean, obviously people will look for you too, but I mean, there's time, you got to, you know, you could call promoters you've worked with in the past and say, hey, I'm available, so-and-so. But I, you know, a lot of guys, well, when...
Guys, I apologize.
That's
nope.
Okay.
No problem.
We were just talking, I was saying, you know, Doc was saying, Ricky Morton here with us, and I said, taking bookings as we speak, his number is...
Oh, yeah, it sure is. But, you know, listen, going back to merchandise, you know, and people like these young guys, like they don't understand, you know, that like when we worked for territories or you worked for Jim Crockett, you know, we didn't have contracts.
Right.
We didn't, you know, they think that, you know, that we made millions of dollars like they made.
Right.
Let me tell you something. These guys these days make more, some of them make more off one pay-per-view than I made in 5 years. You know that?
Right.
No, you're right. None of them realize that. They make more off one pay-per-view than I made in this business working 365 days a year, 5 years.
Mm.
Yeah. See, they don't understand stuff like that. And back then, you didn't get paid for merchandise. You know, the promoter, I mean, like Jimmy Crockett, they kept all that. That's one of the biggest things that me and Robert got ripped off about. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, and, I'll just tell you the truth. You know, these people think our biggest year for Jimmy Crockett was $135,000. That was our biggest year for him. And we sold out. So understand how much money he made.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Now, here's another booking.
All right.
Ricky Morton's booking service. No, you know. I'll pay the electric bill next week, boys. But I'm just
saying. You know, I was saying while you were answering that last call, I was saying to Doc, I said, what a lot of people don't understand is the difference between, you know, having to pick up bookings on the indies and working for a steady company under contract is you guys working indies have got to get out there and hustle yourselves, too.
Oh, yes. You got to. You know, it's just, yeah, I mean, if you don't hustle, you're not going to eat.
Exactly.
You know, this is what I depend on for a living. You know, and like I told you guys earlier, I wrestle, you know, straight 7 days in a row.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to keep myself booked at least four times a week. And right now, you know, I'm booked like all the way through December.
You know, I'm just thinking something, and it just crossed my mind. I don't remember the whole story, but I remember you telling me this a number of years ago. And when he says he wrestles 7 nights a week, sometimes it's not actually that. Sometimes it's fighting for your life a few of those nights.
Oh,
because
yeah.
The guy you're in the ring with wouldn't know a hammerlock from anything, right?
Oh, man, it wasn't Noah.
You were, I remember you telling me this has been a number of years ago.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
You don't remember what it was, but someplace in this guy said, well, you've got to get me over because my brother and my cousin, my aunt, my uncle are all here and this and that. And you went out there with a guy and he could barely walk and chew gum at the same time, and you basically had to beat him.
Oh, yes. I haven't made that long, you know, up in North Carolina. You know, this guy says, guys, how many matches you had? He says, oh, this is my first match.
Oh, geez.
And I had a match, you know, and I gave my friend, I did this right here, and I beat you like this. You can't beat my girlfriend's out here. Needless to tell you, I'm going to tell you what happened in that match.
You don't have to tell me, I know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no. I don't think he's had another match since then. I don't think he has. I'm serious.
His girlfriend's still feeding him soup.
You know, it's like, there's an old guy here that was down here one night, less than, his name was Dr. Feelgood. He's working for George South. And I'm working with him. I says, well, Bubba, what kind of, because, you know, you get a feel if they know anything about the business. I says, what do you like to do? He goes, he looks up at me and says, I'm a cross between the Steiners and the Bulldogs. I like to suplex a lot. I said, tonight you don't. Grab a headlock. Tell you another great story. Remember the Headhunters that beat the Twins?
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
Weigh 600 pounds apiece.
Right.
I'm over in Japan with them. And now, I've been Robert Scott, work with them. You know, because you watch, you, we'll work with them like two nights later. And well, they doing all, I don't know if you've seen these guys. They do the moonsaults and all this stuff.
Yeah.
600 pounds. I'm working with this guy. He picks me up and he slams me. And he looks over and says, lay still. And I look up, he's climbing up the top rope, right? I jumped up, walked right in front of him and said, what'd you say? he told me to lay back down. I said, bro, I don't know. You even attempt to do that, I'll be over getting me some sushi. I ain't laying still for you to drop 8 feet, 600 pounds on me, bro. No. I can sell an arm bar like I'm going to electric chair.
Yeah.
You know? You don't got to. Guys, listen, I hate to run off, but my wife's out here, and she's all over me.
Hey, it's no problem. We appreciate having you on.
When duty calls, Rick, duty calls.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? After you've been married for 20 years, you know what? Duty does call. When it does call,
you answer.
You want to be there. You know, because that after a while, that becomes a rumor.
Liz, when you talk to your dad next, you give him my best and tell him God bless, okay?
I sure will, and Liz, you have a good time, and you see Jerry, tell him I said hi. And
I'll see him in the morning, and I'll sure pass it along, Rick.
I sure will. Doc, nice talking to you, bud.
You too, Ricky.
God
Take
bless,
care,
guys,
Ricky.
And y'all be careful, and I hope to see you on the road.
All right, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ricky Morton here on Wrestling Weekly. Funny guy.
he is, you know. But that's true. This is what I'm telling you about, what he was... Came in the dressing room, first time I ever saw him was with his dad, and he was bashful as he could be. Now, you know the Ricky Morton we just talked to is not bashful, but you know, and came in our dressing room, and we're just, a couple of us are trying to talk to him, and hi there, you know, and he's kind of hiding behind his dad, you know, and doing the bashful thing, you know, and I always reminded. But, you know, it's almost like these guys, some of these guys are family to me, you know, because, well, him and Robert, too. I've known Robert since he was a little boy.
Right.
You know, and watch these guys come along. But in truth, Ricky is one of the best baby faces I've ever seen in this business. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he honestly is. And when we were talking about the Flair thing, to elaborate on that a little bit more, is the fact that you look at the size difference.
Right.
But between Flair, his brilliance, and Ricky's as a baby face and knowing how to sell and timing-wise when to come back, and how to come back, those guys had some tremendous matches, you know, and it's a size difference, you know, it doesn't always make a difference if you know what you're doing, but yeah, I think any young guy that's going to be a baby face, if you can get Ricky Morton tapes and watch how he sells, because that's the key, Doc.
Right.
To get simple, I mean, for the baby face, the clean guy, the good guy, whatever terminology you want to use, for him to get over with the fans, he has to go down before he can come up, you know, to get them behind him, because America is a lot about the I think it's human nature is a lot to cheer for the underdog, and if you think this guy doesn't have a chance and he proves you wrong, and you can get on that bandwagon and ride it, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's the secret how Ricky is with timing and everything is not something you can teach. In other words, you can't go out to your local wrestling school and say, teach me to be like Ricky Morton. That's not going to work. I mean, that's something that the best teachers in the world cannot show you. That's something you have to feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, Jerry Oates and I were talking last night, that so many of the young guys today don't respond to the crowd. They go out there with a set match. and they're going to have that match no matter what the people are thinking or saying, right?
Right.
And the point is you have to feel the – you want to bring – it's not you go out in the crowd. You bring them in the ring with you and make them feel your elation or your, you know, your pain or whatever it is you're feeling at that particular time. Just like – I mean, I've always said wrestlers aren't actors, and for the most part we're not, but it's just like, you know, an Academy Award winning actor, you know, drawing you into that movie and making you tear up when he or she does.
Mm.
It's the same exact thing. It's about timing, not so much doing it, but when you do it, you know. And that's something Ricky just, you know, was a natural for, and he's talking about the guys he's had a chance to work with. And this guy, Ken Lucas, who is still very much alive in the world, lives down around Pensacola, is, like I say, your guys from your generation wouldn't have a clue, but probably one of the best performers I've ever seen in my life, and just knew how he'd take a crowd and put him in the palm of his hand, and it was whether he was heel or babyface. It wasn't like he could do one or the other. When I worked with Kenny, I was the babyface, he was the heel,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he still had that same kind of timing. I mean, we would go in the ring, and I could throw some calls in if I wanted to, because we had that mutual respect. But it was so easy, it was almost, you know, like a night off to go in and let Kenny call the match and just go for the ride,
mm-hmm.
because he just had that tremendous feeling. And that's, again, that's a talent you can't teach to people. That's something that obviously Angle was born with, or Benoit, or Guerrero, you know, or Flair, or any of the great performers.
Yeah, I don't think it's something you can teach.
No.
It's something
no.
you feel.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, talk about a hole in the parts. It's like your top tag teams, you know. Bobby and Dennis, Rock and Roll, I mean, of Midnight Express, mm-hmm. Condrey and Eden.
Right.
They weren't the same apart as they were together. You know, Ricky and Robert, they complimented each other. The Andersons complimented each other. So that's one thing about a tag team, too. And I think that a lot of the modern-day promoters, writers, bookers, whatever, don't quite understand is that if guys have to have a chemistry, otherwise it doesn't fly, you know. So,
right.
But yeah, Ricky, no doubt that Rock and Roll is one of the long running tag teams that's. And the amazing thing is, we were talking about Smokey when Cornette brought them back into Smoky Mountain for the first time, and the whole pitch was we are reuniting the Rock and Roll Express.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even begin to tell you when that Bob Seger old-time rock and roll hit in the, I forget what arena we were in for the first time to do TV. I mean, that building, they just shook the roof, you know, because that's just the kind of chemistry these guys had. And that's, you know, that's a unique talent that, you know, that just so few people have.
Yeah, and I missed it.
You did. You absolutely did. And if we go around again, we'll try to bring you in at our generation.
Cool. let's go ahead and take a break. Let's get to our featured guest, Terry Taylor, on the line.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Stock Young and Les Thatcher here with you on Wrestling Weekly. Going to be back with Terry Taylor right after this. Stick around.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. We've got our featured guest right now on the line, Terry Taylor from TNA. Thanks, Terry, for being on the show.
Hey, Doc. Hey, Les. How you guys?
How you doing? You know, Doc, not only is this guy one of my favorite technicians in the ring, but also one of my favorite comedians.
Oh, really?
That kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Doc? The one thing that Terry and I have in common, we both have a similar sense of humor, and both our wives don't think we're funny worth a damn.
Right. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
What's going on with you, Terry?
Well, gearing up for the TNA debut on Spike TV.
Excellent.
Terry, let me ask you a question. You know, there's all sorts of things. Well, they're going to be on at this time when this demographic. What is your personal opinion on that time slot? I've told Doc, I said, you know, in this day of DVRs, you know, and all that sort of thing, first of all, if I want to see something, all I got to do is record it. Second of all, there's a possibility, and I don't know if anybody else thought this, of picking up a demographic of people that would be home at that time, and maybe it's some old wrestling fans that have been turned off at some other point in time and haven't been watching wrestling. What do you think?
See, I agree. I think that 18 to 34-year-old male, which is our demographic, a lot of them are not going to be chasing women or doing whatever. They're going to be at home at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night, and they're going to want to watch something, you know, that's exciting. And, you know, our lead-in is going to be The Ultimate Fighter, which is one of the hottest shows on TV right now.
Yeah.
So I really don't see a downside to that time slot.
Yeah, and you're right. Most of us wrestling fans, we are at home alone on Saturday night.
Well, Doc, as homely as you are, though, he wouldn't expect you to have a date. I mean, you know, Terry, I was talking to Terry Funk, it's been a couple months ago. He, you know, talking about the UFC or mixed martial arts, he made a point, and you know Terry as well as I, honestly, has been a visionary about this business on several occasions. He's called the shots way ahead of anybody else. His comment was about UFC. He said, you know what that reminds me of? And I said, what? He said, our business in 1960.
He's right.
It's basics, right?
Yeah. I mean, at one time, wrestling, when it's done properly, looks a whole lot like The Ultimate Fight.
Exactly.
And when the matches are the strategy and the psychology is done properly, it's just like The Ultimate Fight. Now it's more of a, you know, stunt show, or, you know what I mean, with too many pyrotechnics and crazy falls and all that. We were talking about that fall Elix took off the top of the cage.
Right.
I mean, that kind of stuff, you know, Jimmy Snuka would dive off the top of the cage once on Madison Square Garden 20 years ago, and people still talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't as impressive as what Elix did, you know, a year ago.
Right.
And guys do that same kind of thing Elix did all the time. I mean, you know, independence and all that. But Jimmy Snuka, you know, that one dive he did at the top of the cage in Madison Square Garden 20 years ago, I mean, that was like the thing that people talked about. And if we can get back to where things like that matter, you know, our business is going to be very healthy again.
Yeah, I think so, too. It comes back to the old thing that you teach, or I teach, or any sane teacher, is that less is more in so many instances, especially in our business.
It sounds like such a tired cliche, but it's so true. You know, what lesson is this, but like we'll talk to these kids and we'll say, okay, get in a hold and see what happens. And they'll get in it and they'll be impatient, but, you know, they'll trust you and they'll stay in it. And the people start chanting and cheering and start getting with it, and they feel that, so what do? They go right into another high spot, you know, and undo it. But you get that one moment of where the people have, you know, they have the people's undivided attention. Emotionally, the people are starting to get invested in it, and they start to kind of get it. So,
yeah, the guy we had on here before you, I was talking to Doc after he hung up, and I know you'll agree with me on this. We were talking about timing and knowing, feeling something, knowing when to do it. Was Ricky Morton? Was there a better selling baby face that you've ever seen?
No. That's funny you should say that. No. There was nobody better.
Yeah.
Some people say Ricky Steamboat, but I don't know. Day in and day out, Ricky Morton could have little girls crying. He could have the guys at ringside pulling for him, and that's a very, very hard thing to have both. You know, and Ricky just was a master at drawing the people in by his facial expressions and the way he sold.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Michelle in the chat room has a question. Are you part of the creative team over at TNA?
No, I am not. I help with the talent relations.
Okay. She wants to know how you compare the WWE side to the TNA side right now as far as backstage.
I don't really know that much about the WWE right now. I just know that our side is very positive. We have a lot of young kids that are very, very happy to be part of our company. Nobody's getting rich, but mm-hmm. boy, are they excited about the opportunity that they have with us.
Sounds good.
I mean, we have very few, if any, disgruntled employees.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky, is there anything that you know of and that could actually share with us that might be changed at TNA between now and when you guys go on the air in October with Spike? I mean, in terms of formatting of the show or policies or anything.
You said Ricky. Do you mean me?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm... You have to forgive me. It's a senior moment, Terry.
I'm not exactly sure. You know, what you're asking, Les, is part of the creative.
Yeah.
I think that the only thing I think our company really needs is an identity.
Yes.
I mean, people know that we're not WWE and we're not ECW and, you know, that we are TNA, but they don't know what that means yet. And I think that's what our mission right now is, to try to carve out who we are, what our fan base is, and what we bring to the table.
And it's not so much to top WWE or to equal them, but to stand alone, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll never have better production than them. You know, they've carved out who they are, and we can't touch that. So why even try?
Exactly.
You know, they're the number one company in the world, and people, you know, some people love them, and some are looking for something else to watch. And those are the people, you know, to which we're going to cater. If somebody doesn't want to watch WWE, but they're a wrestling fan, they're going to have a real strong alternative starting Saturday, October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the fire up date then, October 1?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Good, good, good.
Very good.
Chris B. wants to know, if you were to wrestle one more match, who would you like to face?
Les Thatcher.
It would be a night off for you, kid.
To be honest, somebody said that one time about 10 years ago, who would it be? And I said Triple H. But I have no desire to wrestle anybody anymore. That part of my life's over. There's really not anything left there to do. Mm-hmm. Except to hurt more the next morning.
And I'll tell you something that maybe he won't say too, Doc, is I think I know Terry well enough that he set a standard for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can't reach that standard, he's not interested in embarrassing himself either, and he's had some surgeries, and it's I won't say it's hobbled him, but it's obviously slowed him down.
No, I know it has.
Right.
It's funny you should say that, because people say, Terry, how come you don't wrestle? And I'll say, because I'd rather people remember me for what I was than to see me for what I am.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you just said, but you said it better.
You know, Jerry Oates and I were talking about that, you know, just today. You know, the fact, you know, he said, well, you could, he said, your mind, you're still sharp. You could, I said, Jerry, I know I can't do what I did 20 years ago or 30 years or even 10 years ago. And I just, you know, it's my analogy is I saw Willie Mays, his rookie season with the New York Giants, and I saw Willie Mays' last season with the Mets, and I wish I hadn't seen the last season with the Mets, because it took away off the edge of the great Willie Mays when he was in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not interested. You know, and I think pride has something to do with it too, don't you, Terry?
Absolutely. The last person to know when it's time to quit is the actual athlete. I mean, most of us think we have one more run left in us, one more good match left. And that's just pride, you know, time and injuries and all that, you know, they don't wait for anybody. You know, everybody, you know, Ric Flair may still be one of the most talented guys on the WWE roster, but he's not the Ric Flair he was in 1985.
Exactly.
All right. Les and Terry, I hate to cut this short, but we've got over here at the studio a major storm rolling in. And I don't want to lose the replay if the power goes out.
So you're gonna sell us down the road, right?
I think we should wrap up and save this show for posterity.
Okay.
Before we lose our power.
Well, before we get off here, Double T, I will give you a shout, but you and I will be getting together October the 15th anyway.
I look forward to it. Yes, sir, we will.
Me too.
Terry, and I really hate to cut you short, and I really, we got to have you back and talk longer, because we just got started, basically.
Exactly. Terry, my best to Trudy.
Thank you.
And my friend, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. God bless you, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you. I look forward to it. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay.
All right, Terry.
Bye, Terry.
Bye.
Oh man, Les, I hate to do that.
I know, Doc. I know, but I'm like you. We don't want to lose what we got.
Right.
And it's been a night of kind of error, and starting with me. And it was just, well, you know what? I honestly, to be honest with you, I immersed myself in what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Jerry comes in and that's, he said, you're supposed to be on the radio with a smile on his face, like I think he's ribbing me. Then I realized, oh my God, it's Sunday night. Because we're, you know, the producer there is rolling the tape, you know, and queuing up tapes and telling me, well, this is what this match is, and here's what you need to know about this,
right.
And I'm laying down voice tracks.
Right.
And we're getting on a roll, and I'm thinking, yeah, well, we'll finish these up and get what we can, then tonight we're going to work all day tomorrow at this, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll better get off here before we don't want to lose anything either.
Right.
So,
check
Doc,
out.
We got Jimmy Cornette as our featured guest next week, and
exactly.
Everybody check the website, and Doc will put whoever our secondary, our Legends segment. Well, hell, Jimmy could fit both segments, for God's sake.
Absolutely, he can.
But anyway, we will have Jimmy Cornette on next week, and we'll have somebody else. Please check the website and check it out and see who that's going to be. And, Doc, I think it's been a good one, and regardless of all the disruptions and
absolutely.
Interruptions.
Absolutely. Good interview with Ricky Morton. Good part of an interview with Terry Taylor. But check out what Les is up to every week at lesthatcher.com and epwt.com. Also, obsessedwithwrestling.com for all your wrestling needs. We're going to get out of here. We'll be back next week with you with Jim Cornette. So keep listening, and we'll see you next week.
All right, Doc. You take care.
You too.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye,
bye-bye.
Guys.
You've been listening to Wrestling Weekly. Please join us again next Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern right here on WrestlingWeekly.com.